And this morning's shiur should be Li'ilu Nishmas Esther Bas Rafael Tzvi, whose yahrzeit is this week, as well as for a refuah shlema of Shmuel Yosef ben Tzipora, who really needs Rachamei Shamayim. So now that we know that we are in the week leading directly up to Chag HaShavuos, I thought it was an appropriate time for us to talk about the Aseres HaDibros. After all, on Shavuos is when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and gives the Aseres HaDibros. He brings down the Luchos with him. This is the reason why on Chag HaShavuos we read the Kriyas HaTorah of the Aseres HaDibros. So let us begin with the following. Rashi tells us in Parshas Mishpatim that the Aseres HaDibros are Yisod Kol HaTorah Kula. Rashi says this is the foundation of all of Torah as we know it. And this is not only the sentiment of Rashi, but it is also what other Rishonim say as well. The Ramban has the same comment, as well as Rav Sadia Gaon, and therefore they believe that this is such a critical, important body of knowledge to know and understand the Aseres HaDibros and what they represent in order for all of us to be the Jews that we are supposed to be. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis, and this is his term, Heim Iker Hadas Vireishiso. Says the Rambam, this is the most fundamental, it's the most foundational part of our religion, and it is Reishiso, it is the central point of where everything begins. In fact, the Arachayim HaKadosh writes on Chumash, the Gemara says that we had the first two of the Aseres HaDibros were said to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mipi HaGvura Shamanu. We heard it from the mouth of God Himself. After that, subsequently, all the rest of them we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. Writes the Arachayim HaKadosh, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu found it necessary to tell us the first two of the Aseres HaDibros? And he says the reason why is because Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the Yisod, it's the foundation of all mitzvahs asay, and Lo Yielacha Elohim Acherim Al Panai is the Yisod, is the foundation of all mitzvahs los asay. This encompasses everything, and therefore we assume that the Aseres HaDibros are a critical component of everything that a Jew needs to think about and needs to understand. What's fascinating is that you look through all the pages of Chumash and Tanakh, and you never find the phrase Aseres HaDibros. The way the Torah mentions it is Aseres HaDvarim. I don't know if there's any significance to that or not, but for those who might know Hebrew far better than I, maybe there is some kind of difference, but the Torah does say Aseres HaDvarim. We refer to it generally as the Aseres HaDibros. I'm not sure exactly why, but that is the way they are known to us. In fact, the Yerushalmi tells us, and this is quoted the halacha in the Mishnah Berurah, that every day when we say Kriyas Shema, and Kriyas Shema, as we know, is one of the focal points of our tefillah. If somebody doesn't have time to daven everything, obviously Kriyas Shema is supposed to be a major part of your davening every day. When we say Kriyas Shema, says the Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos, there is a reference to all of the Aseres HaDibros throughout the words of Kriyas Shema. How so? So the Yerushalmi says as follows, let's read it together. And last night, one of our participants in the shiur pointed out that I left something out of the list. So she is very correct, and I wrote to her this morning thanking her that we will correct it this morning. So let us begin. Where is the mention of the Aseres HaDibros in Shema every day? Writes the Yerushalmi. Number one, when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, that is a reference to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's easy. Then you go a little further. Hashem Echad, that is a reference to Lo Yielacha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. You can believe only in one God, you cannot serve any other. And that is what we say Hashem Echad. Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. If you love God enough, says the Yerushalmi, then you will make sure Lo Sis Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. If you love and respect Him enough, you won't simply say His name in vain. Then it says Uchsavtam Al Mezuzos Pesecha. That is a reference to Lo Sachma. Do not covet the property of others. How so? Because it says Pesecha. Don't be looking at other people's homes. Don't worry about what they have. Don't be jealous of the circumstances and the life that someone else is living. Focus on your own home and ignore what's going on outside of your own house. Beisecha velo beis chaverecha. Stam, a good idea to remind ourselves of all the time. Ve'asafta deganecha. The Torah says we should go and harvest all that we have planted. And from there we learn lo signov. Make sure you harvest only that which belongs to you. Do not take that which belongs to somebody else. Va'avadata mehera. We learn from there lo sirtzach. That is a reference to the fact that we have to be careful never to cause somebody else's life to be cut short. Leman yibru yimechem. Now here it gets complicated. We say leman yibru yimechem. How is that a reference to kabed es avicha? Very simple, because the Torah says if we are careful with kabed es avicha, we will then merit an arichus yamim. And therefore, when we say Leman Yirbu Yimechem in Kriyashma every day, that is a reference to the mitzvah of Kabedes Avicha. Then we say Los Asur Achare Levavchem Va'achare Einechem. Be careful what you look at. From there, we learn Lo Sinaf. Also, a natural progression. If we are not careful where we look, if we are not careful where we stand, then ultimately it could lead to the act of Lo Sinaf. And finally, we're told Leman Tizkuru, and that is a reference to Zacharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. What is missing, most obviously, is Lo Sane Bereacha Eid Shaker. And that, the Yerushalmi says, we learn from the very end of Kriya Shema, when we say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truthful, and therefore we have an obligation to act and to conduct ourselves throughout life in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Gemara says, Mahu Afata, just like God has certain ways in which He runs the world, so too He expects that we are going to do the very same. And therefore, we learn all of the Aseres HaDibros have some kind of reference in the words of Kriya Shema that we say every day. An amazing comment of the Mishneh Brura from the Talmud Yerushalmi. And in fact, the Medrash writes a number of bays. V'chein atamotze tariyak osios, yesh min anochi ad asher l'reyecha. I've never counted it, but I trust the Medrash that there are 613 letters from the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros until the end. That is not coincidental. The reason why it's there, says the Medrash, is because it's to prove to us that the 613 letters in the Aseres HaDibros are the fundamentals of all the 613 mitzvahs. These are basically the general categories, and everything else somehow fits in underneath this category that we have constructed. And because of the fundamental aspect of the Aseres HaDibros, because we assume that this is such a pivotal and central understanding for every Jew to know, that is why the Mishnah says in Maseches Tamid that every day in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim used to daven. They daven like all the rest of us daven. But they daven in the Beis HaMikdash a different form of tefillah. Now, obviously, if you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash and you are doing the Avodah, you don't say, V'li Yerushalayim ircha berachamim tashuv. You're standing there. And you don't say, Es tzemach David avtecha meheres atzmiach. You have Yerushalayim, you have a Beis HaMikdash. And you don't say, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha letzion berachamim. Obviously, they had a very different formulation to the tefillah and a different way that they used to daven. But the Mishnah does describe what exactly was incorporated and included in the tefillah of the Kohanim. So the Mishnah says that every day in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to say Kriya Shema, they used to say some kind of tefillah, and they used to say the Aseres HaDibros. Every day in their davening, they would recite the Aseres HaDibros, because it's a good idea for a Jew every day to remind themselves of what it is that we believe in, of why it is that we live as Jews, of what it is that God expects all of us to do every day of our lives. And therefore, the Kohanim used to have this as a major part of the davening every day, which leads to a question that somebody asked last night. She happened to be sitting right there. That's why I'm pointing to you. So one of the participants in our shiur last night asked, I always say it's great that I give the shiur on Monday nights and then Tuesday mornings. I make all the mistakes on Monday night, and hopefully by Tuesday morning I have it worked out. So somebody asked a very good question about what kind of tefillah did they say. I mistakenly said they daven Shmona Esrei. Obviously they did not daven Shmona Esrei, because the 18 brachos are not all relevant to the times of the Kohanim, which leads to really an interesting issue. What are we going to do when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, b'meheira v'yameinu, when we all go back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim? What is going to be the status of our tefillah? We're going to have to change so many things. So I recently spoke, I can't remember where, but I spoke recently about the tshuva of the Maharam ben Chaviv. He was one of the great gedolim who lived in Eretz Yisrael in the period of the Achronim. And the Maharam ben Chaviv writes that he had some difficulty understanding some of the tefillos. After all, he says, I have the great privilege of living in Eretz Yisrael. And after all, says the Maharam ben Chaviv, the tefillah must change because we cannot say the same thing that we used to. So he writes, number one, we say every Shabbos, Yihi ratzon sheta'aleinu v'simcha le'artzeinu. Said the Maharam ben Chaviv, does it make sense that we say sheta'aleinu v'simcha le'artzeinu when we live at a time where we are in Eretz Yisrael? So what am I davening for? Well, says the Maharam ben Chaviv, that's not a problem, because what we mean when we say sheta'aleinu is not that we should be brought up from all the corners of the globe, not that we should return to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, but rather sheta'aleinu, we should have in ilui. Even those of us who live here, he writes, are living in poverty. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim is b'churbana. And therefore we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should elevate the level of life that we're living here in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he says it's appropriate for that the tefillah remain shata'aleinu b'simcha le'artzeinu. But then he says, I'm stuck on the tefillah that we say both on Rosh Chodesh, this morning we said it, and we also say it every Yom Tov. We will say it Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and that is that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'havienu l'tzion ir chabarina. Now what does that mean, he says, for those of us who have the great opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael? Are we simply davening for our brothers who live in Chutz La'aretz? It would be very nice of them, but is that all we have in mind when we say that we should come back, v'havienu l'tzion ir chabarina, we should come back to Eretz Yisrael with enjoyment, with excitement? Is that really what we're davening for? Or is there something that should be changed for those of us living in Eretz Yisrael? Now the Maharam ben Chaviv was by no means a rabbi who tried to change the Siddur. All he was saying was we need to think about the fact that some of the phrases that we might mention really are not appropriate for those of us living in Eretz Yisrael. He then gets into a further discussion, and this is very interesting. And three times during the year, we say the phrase, V'solichenu komamius li'artzenu. It's actually borrowed from last week's Parsha. Komamius is mentioned last week in the Tochacha, where we say that we hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to stand up straight. Komamius, va'olichaschem komamius, the Pasuk says, it means that you could stand up straight with a backbone. So we borrow that phrase, and we say, we hope that we come back to Eretz Yisrael, komamius le'artzeinu, we should come back to Eretz Yisrael, standing up straight and tall and proud and not afraid of our enemies. That's what we daven for. When do we say that tefillah? The most unusual time that we say it is on Yom Kippur davening. Probably many of us just skip right over that page. I happen to be a Shliach Tzibur on Yom Kippur, so I can't really skip it. But it's the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. When the Kohen Gadol used to daven for many different things, one of the items that he mentioned was, we should have a Shana Shetolichenu Komamius Li'artzenu. That's one. The second time we say it is in benching, when we say Harachaman V'hu Yolichenu Komamius Li'artzenu. Many people skip over that as well. But one thing that we certainly should not be skipping over is in the Birchos Kriya Shema every day. We say that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us back to Eretz Yisrael Komamius, that we should be back there once again, standing up tall and straight. So the Maharam ben Chaviv and other members of his generation in the 1600s were wondering, should this really be the way that we formulate the tefillah in our times when we're living in Eretz Yisrael? After all, he says, we shouldn't say Komamius Le'artzenu. We should rather say Komamius Be'artzenu. We are here in the land. Life is not perfect. We have a lot that we look forward to. But we should say that God should make us stand up straight in the land that we're in. So there are many different formulations of how you can find problematic issues in the tefillah for those who have the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael. And we hope that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we'll have somebody who will figure out what exactly needs to be changed and how the davening should be appropriately formulated when the circumstances of the life of a Jew will change. Be it as it may, the Gemara clearly says that the Kohanim every day used to say certain aspects of tefillah in their davening. One of them was the Aseres HaDibros, which leads to a very obvious question. Why don't we have the Aseres HaDibros in our daily tefillah? If it's so fundamental, if it's so pivotal for a Jew to remember the Aseres HaDibros, how come it is absent from our Siddurim? Why is it not mentioned anywhere? So yes, it's true, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Yerushalmi, that we have some kind of reminder in Kriya Shema, but you know, I'm trying to say Kriya Shema and just pay attention to the words. That's hard enough. Now I have to have another Kavana to try to think of where I'm going to find the reference to all the Aseres HaDibros. Not really sufficient. Why are the Aseres HaDibros absent, so glaringly absent, from our daily tefillah, from our Siddur? And the answer is found in the Gemara. The Gemara writes in Maseches Brachos, Daf Yud Beis, let's read number Gimel. The Gemara tells us, V'korin Aseres HaDibros. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to say the Aseres HaDibros every day. Shema, V'hayayim Shamoa, V'yomer, Emes V'yatziv, V'avoda. They used to daven, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael V'sfilasam. They ask, please accept our tefillah and our karbanos. And then they obviously said, Birchas Kohanim. That was the tefillah of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, the obvious question. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Af Bigvulin Bikshu Likros Kain. outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they also felt it was a good idea to include the Aseres HaDibros in the daily tefillah. Why did they decide not to? Elo shekvar bidlu mipnei tarumos haminim. Since there were skeptics, since there were critics out there who would have the mistaken impression that these were the only authentic and legitimate parts of Torah, the Aseres HaDibros and no other, if they hear that we make such a big to-do about the Aseres HaDibros, they now have an opportunity to claim, you see, the Jews only believe in the Aseres HaDibros because those were the only ones given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And everything else is false. Everything else was man-made. Everything else was the addition of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, he writes, that this is the reason why we have left out the Aseres HaDibros from our tefillah every day, because we don't want anybody having the mistaken impression. We don't want anybody walking away thinking that it's the Aseres HaDibros alone that we believe in. We want everyone to understand that all of the 613 mitzvahs are authoritative, are accurate, are legitimate, are authentic, and all of them were given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And therefore we decide, even though it would have been important to have that as a part of our tefillah, we don't want anyone walking away with a mistake, and therefore we leave it out. And based on this, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rashba, in the 1300s, was sent the following question, number Dalet. Mahu lomar Aseres HaDibros b'shachar b'beis HaKnesses? There was a group in Barcelona who wanted to start reciting the Aseres HaDibros every morning in shul. And they asked the Rashba, are we allowed to do so? Lefi sheyesh anashim sharotzim lahanig keim b'tzibur. There are some who feel it's the appropriate thing to do. And the Rashba responds unequivocally, and he says, Asur lasos kein. Absolutely unacceptable, you are not allowed to. Shekvar bitlua mipnei ta'arumos haminim. They already got rid of that idea of having this as a part of our tefillah. We have not incorporated it into our siddur, even though it would have been a nice idea. We leave it out because of the skeptics, because of the critics. We don't want them to have an opportunity to make a mistake based on what they hear us doing. Now, why does the Rashba go so far as to say, Aser lasos kein? That's like a very extreme terminology to use for this practice. And I believe the reason why is very simple. We all know the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba. It's the introductory Mishnah to Pirkei Avos, and it's a very beautiful feeling. All of us are going to have olam haba. It's great. What we don't know is the end of that Mishnah. That is not mentioned in the introduction to Pirkei Avos. This is mentioned in the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the last perek. It's called Perek Chelek because Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba. Well, says the Mishnah, every Jew has a portion in olam haba except for a whole long list of people. One of them is an apikoros. Now, what exactly is an apikoros? What does that mean? What is the definition of an apikoros? Well, the Gemara has a few definitions, but one of them is somebody who says, Ein Torah min hashamayim. Somebody who denies the authenticity of Torah. Somebody who does not believe that Torah is min hashamayim is deemed an apikores and has no chelek in olam haba. The Rambam writes, what does it mean that you say, Ein Torah min hashamayim? It doesn't mean what you think. It does not mean a person who says all of the entirety of Torah is not min hashamayim. No. The Rambam says, somebody who says all of Torah is min hashamayim, I believe that God gave us 612 mitzvahs, but personally I have an issue with one of them. For example, members of our generation who have issue with a certain mitzvah in the Torah, and they say it just doesn't fit into societal norms, it doesn't fit into our understandings, and therefore it cannot be that mitzvah applies. I don't deny everything else. I believe that everything applies equally to all Jews at all times, but this mitzvah just doesn't sit right with me. And you know what? Therefore, we have to reinterpret the pasuk. It cannot mean what we thought it meant. We have such people today. They call themselves Orthodox Jews. But says the Gemara, Ein lo chelek la'olam haba. Because you deny the authenticity of Torah. We believe Torah Hashem Tamima. That means the Torah is complete. The Torah is perfect. If you don't want to take everything, you may as well take nothing. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. Yes, sometimes do we make a mistake and maybe we're Mechal Shabbos. Sometimes do we make a mistake and maybe we speak Lashon Hara? It doesn't mean I don't believe in the prohibition of Lashon Hara. It doesn't mean I don't believe that Shabbos is real. It just means that sometimes I have an inclination that makes me do something wrong. But if a person stands up and says, you know, Shabbos is just too difficult for our generation, and therefore God could never have really instructed us to keep Shabbos, because after all, didn't He know that we were going to have technology today? Didn't He know that it would be impossible for us to abstain for 24 hours? That, says the Gemara, is somebody who is an apikoros. And therefore, the Rashba goes to the extreme. And he says, Aser lasos kein, because if somebody's going to walk away with a mistaken impression that even one aspect of Torah is not authentic and not legitimate, and perhaps inaccurate, that is already a person who is going off and who will be ein lo chelek la'olam haba. This is a very critical lesson. And therefore, we are told that this is a very important idea that we need to keep in mind. Although the Aseres HaDibros are the most fundamental and basic aspect of what Judaism is about, we need to be careful not to go to the extreme. If you're going to highlight it too much, perhaps somebody will make a mistake as a result of that emphasis that is placed on it. There's a comment in the Yerushalmi, once we're talking about this. The Yerushalmi in Maseches Brachos has a very surprising comment. Hakovea itim la Torah, hareze mefir Toraso. It's a very surprising comment. Hakovea itim la Torah means, you have somebody who makes time to learn Torah every day. I would have said, that person is amazing. How many of us sit down every day and say, you know, there's a time in our day, a time in our calendar that is blocked off, no matter how many weddings I have, no matter how many engagements and how many nail appointments I need to go to and makeup artists I need to visit and shaitels I need to get done, I will never allow this time in my day to be compromised. I'm koveya itim every day, a specific time where nothing gets in that way. I don't know if anyone in the room can raise their hand and say, I have even 10 minutes in my day that is never going to be interrupted. Anybody? Okay. What?
We're all here, so I guess that's...
Okay, but we all skip here and there, right? Which is fine. Says the Yerushalmi, somebody who's koveya itim la Torah, I would say, that's an amazing Jew. Somebody who's able to block out time in their day and say, no matter what, I will give this time for God every single day, doesn't matter what is happening in my life. And yet the Yerushalmi ends the sentence by saying, somebody who is koveya itim la Torah hareze mefir Toraso? Mefir Toraso means it's despicable. You are doing something offensive to the Torah. How can that be? What does that mean? So, there are a number of interpretations. But the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, writes an amazing pshat. It doesn't mean what you thought. Hakoveya itim la Torah, how many Jews in the world actually set aside time every day only for God, that is uninterrupted time just with Him alone? Very few. Yeah, of course. But okay. So, Hakoveya itim la Torah, says the Ksav Sofer, you know what it means? Somebody who is koveya in ace. Somebody who says that the Torah only exists in a certain time period. Somebody who says that the Torah only applies to Moshe Rabbeinu and his generation. Or maybe it only applied to the Jews who lived in Europe. Or maybe it applies only to those who live in Israel. But to me living in America today, what does God want from me? Does He really expect I'm going to follow all of this? That is Mefer Torah. Because you don't understand that Torah Hashem Tamima, that the way God gave us a Torah is absolute, it is complete, it is accurate, it is legitimate, and it is meant for every generation and for all people wherever they may live. That is what the Torah stands for. Isn't it strange? We're coming up to the Chag HaShavuos. Isn't it unusual? By every other Yom Tov, we find an exact date that is given in the Torah for when we are supposed to celebrate the holiday. Comes to Shavuos, and we know that it's 49 days after Pesach, but what is the date on the calendar? When was the Torah actually given? Magen Avraham has a major discussion. Was it on this day of Sivan, that day of Sivan? We don't know exactly when Shavuos took place. How come? Why doesn't the Torah tell us what day on the calendar Kabbalas HaTorah actually happened? Isn't that strange? The most important moment in Jewish history. And the answer is because it is not a historical moment. It's not something that happened once in the history of the Jews. It is something that happens every single day. When we say in our Birchas HaTorah every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Nosein HaTorah. We don't say He was Nasan. We don't say that He gave it to us. We say He is continuously giving us the Torah every day and every moment of our lives. Why is that? Because we understand that in every generation we need to figure out how to make sure that the Torah applies to us. How to make sure that the Torah remains relevant to those living in our generation with our challenges. The Torah was given for all eternity. This is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end of his life takes time out of his schedule, and I'm sure he was busy. He takes time out of his schedule to write the Torah in Shivim Lashon. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to translate the words of the Torah into 70 languages? Nobody at the time spoke the 70 languages. Everybody spoke, I guess, Hebrew or Egyptian. I don't know what they spoke. But why was everybody in need of the Torah being translated into Shivim Lashon? And I believe the answer is simple. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach all Jews, wherever they may live, whatever language they may speak, that the Torah is meant for you. And even if now we don't speak German and French and Chinese, there will come a time when there will be Jews all over the world who will speak other languages, and they need to know that the Torah is relevant to them as well. That is what we celebrate on Chag HaShavuos. That is what we think about every day when we say the Birchas HaTorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not only the one who gave us the Torah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, but He is the Nosein HaTorah. He continues to give us a relevant set of laws that we need to make sure to incorporate into our generation every single time we might be in any galus, in any part of the world, speaking any language, the Torah is relevant to us. One final comment on that point, and this is something that always inspired me. Rabbi Pelkowitz told me about 7-8 years ago, a comment that he said he heard in the name of Rabbi Meir Shapiro. The Gemara says in Menachos, Kol HaKelim She'asa Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the items that Moshe Rabbeinu made for a functioning Mishkan were ksherim lo uksherim ledoros. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu made a menorah. If we would uncover that menorah, somehow find it, we would be able to use it in our Beis HaMikdash. Moshe Rabbeinu made a mizbeach, he made a shulchan, he made all the different kelim. We would have the ability to use all of those kelim with the exception of one. What is that keli that we cannot use even if we were to find it? Says the Gemara, Chatzotros sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu, ksherim lo upsulim ledoros. The trumpets that Moshe Rabbeinu made for his generation were able to be used by Moshe Rabbeinu's generation alone, but no subsequent generation can make use of those chatzotros. We need to make our own. Why are they different than the Mizbeach and the Shulchan and the Menorah and everything else that is functioning in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan? Why do we need to make new chatzotros? And the answer, said Rav Meir Shapiro, is because the same avoda that Moshe Rabbeinu did is the avoda we do today. The same mizbeach that he used and the same shulchan that make use in his day is what we will use today as well. The only difference is that chatzotros were made as a mode of communication between Moshe Rabbeinu and the people. We cannot use the same mode of communication that Moshe Rabbeinu used in his generation to teach the youth. Every generation has different modes of communication that will work for them. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu made all of the kelim, all of them could be used in our generation as well. Nothing has changed at all. It's the same Torah. It is eternal. But the mode of communication, the method in which we give it over, the language in which perhaps we speak, that is what always needs to change based on the needs of the generation, based on the needs of the people. That is the only difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and ourselves. Otherwise, the Torah has remained the same. Let's get back to our subject matter here. And that is, we mentioned that the Gemara tells us we should not include the Aseres Hadibros in our tefillah every day, because if there will be an overemphasis on the Aseres Hadibros, perhaps somebody will walk away with the mistaken impression that that is the only real part of Torah and everything else is not legitimate, is not authentic. We have an amazing Gemara, Maseches Erevin, where the Gemara tells us, it's in the middle of a complicated sugya, but just look at one line here in number Vav. The Gemara says, Kal ha'omer shmuazu na, shmuazu eina na, ma'abed hona shel Torah. If somebody says, you know, I really enjoy this part of Torah, I really love this shir, and I really don't like that shir, that is an inappropriate statement, because Torah is Hashem Tamima. All of Torah is beautiful. All of Torah is amazing. And we need to learn to have a sense of appreciation for all aspects of Torah. So the Shalah writes an amazing comment. For anyone who's ever been in shul, in our shul we don't do it so often, they sell aliyos in certain shuls. I always think it creates pandemonium in shul, and it just is an opportunity for people to lose respect and control of what the shul is about. But some shuls do it, and maybe they do it right. So in some shuls, when they do it, it's the gabbai's job to make as much money as he can. So how is he supposed to do that? So he tries to figure out a gimmick of how to sell each aliyah, of how to show something unique about this aliyah over the other. So said the Shalah, I don't understand. You're going to be selling the aliyahs, and you're going to say, who's going to pay $5,000 for the Aseres HaDibros? Somebody raised their hand, no, I'll pay $10,000 for the Aseres HaDibros. But we just had an aliyah before the Aseres HaDibros, Shlishi, that went for like $200. So said the Shalah, what kind of message are we giving over? What are we saying? We're saying this part of Torah is more important than the other? We're saying this is worth more money, to get this aliyah is more important than something else? Said the Shalah, I'm not so fond of this whole practice, and I think it's inappropriate for a person to speak that way. Sometimes when you have a ksiva sefer Torah, so they sell certain parts of the sefer Torah, I don't know what it means exactly, but you pay money to have a certain portion of it written on your behalf. Well, I'll pay more money for the shira than I'll pay for something else. And I always say, give me whatever you want, because to me it's all the same. The Torah is the Torah. Correct. So the reason why we have a practice, a good question, the reason why we have a practice in many communities that you don't give the aliyah of the tochacha to somebody else is because the Baal Koreh, it used to be that the person who got the aliyah read from the Torah. Today that is not the case. Most people who get an aliyah don't know how to read from the Sefer Torah. They didn't prepare. So now we have somebody else read on your behalf. So what's it going to sound like? When I say, Yakcha Hashem, basically I'm saying, as the Baal Koreh, I hope God curses you. So that's why we took away the practice for somebody else to get the aliyah. The Baal Koreh gets it himself. Therefore, he's talking to no one. If he would be talking to the person standing next to him, it sounds very offensive. That's the only reason why the tochacha is different. We actually had a good shaila last week. Miriam Wallach made a bar mitzvah. Her son is a kohen. Her family is kohanim. So he only got the first aliyah. But then it comes to the tochacha and he was laning. So what are you supposed to do? Usually the Baal Koreh gets the aliyah. But here the Baal Koreh was unable to get the aliyah because he's a Kohen. So it happens to be the Mishneh Berurah writes, I told her, the Mishneh Berurah writes that in such a case you should do something different. You should have the Kohen read straight through the first few aliyos till the entire tochacha is over, and then you squash in the last few aliyos into the remaining psukim. But you can't do that to a bar mitzvah boy the week of his bar mitzvah. Start telling me he has to learn where to stop in different places. I just thought it wasn't a good idea. Whatever, we figured out what to do for him, but it's a good question. It's a good question. I said, I'll take the aliyah. It's okay. I know your son is not cursing me. Anyway, they figured out what to do. But your question is a very good one. There's a major discussion in the Magen Avraham. You know, you go to different shuls and you see there's different variations of what you find on a parocha. So here we have a beautiful tefillah. Avinu Malkeinu Psach Shareh Shamayim L'Tfilosenu. I forgot what already is in the main shul. I can't remember which pasuk is there. But also, I think Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have L'Shmo El Arina Ve'El Tefillah. But every shul has their own configuration of what they put on the parochas. So the Magen Avraham says, let's talk about what is perhaps acceptable to put on and what perhaps is not. Writes the Magen Avraham, I don't think it's smart to put the Aseres HaDibros on there. After all, he says, you have the same problem that the Gemara discusses. What's going to happen? You have somebody who walks into shul and they look to the front of the shul and all they see is the Aseres HaDibros. Is that all that this community believes in? So therefore, he says, the same way our Gemara says we take the Aseres HaDibros out of the davening, so too he says we should not have the Aseres HaDibros prominently displayed in the front of the shul. That's what he writes. Now you have to ask yourself, I'm sure you've been to many shuls where they have the Aseres HaDibros in the front of the shul. So how can you explain that? What's that all about? So there are some Achronim who say perhaps the reason why is very obvious. Yes, it's true. When you have the Aseres HaDibros just being mentioned in our tefillah, it's out of context. So somebody might get the mistaken impression that this is the only part of Torah that is legitimate. But here you walk into a shul and you see that the centerpiece of a shul is the Aron HaKodesh. Inside the Aron, we all know, is a Sefer Torah. Happens to be on the outside, we might put an Aseres HaDibros, but everybody will naturally understand that we believe in all of Torah because we have Sifrei Torah in the shul. And this is just something that is put in the place of representing that which we're about to read in the Torah, or to beautify the Aron HaKodesh, whatever it is. And therefore, some Achronim say, no reason to be concerned for the Magen Avram's consideration here, and you can go along with the minhag of having the Aseres HaDibros written on the Parochas. It's a major debate, but that is the understanding that many Achronim have. What about standing up for a Sefer Torah? This is a very interesting discussion. The Gemara in two different places talks about whether or not we need to stand up for a Sefer Torah when the Sefer Torah is taken out of the Aron Kodesh. The Gemara writes in both places, obviously yes. But the Gemara in two places starts from the opposite direction. One is the Gemara Meseches Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Listen carefully to how it's formulated because it's different than the other one. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Lamed Gimel, number Zayin, Mahu Lama Bipnei Sefer Torah. Now, we all know the answer. Yes, we need to stand up for a Sefer Torah, but in the times of the Gemara, they have to figure everything out. So, Mahu Lama Bipnei Sefer Torah. Are we supposed to stand up in the presence of a Sefer Torah? Says the Gemara, Kal Vachomer. We know certainly you need to. Why? Mipnei Lomdeha Omdim. If you need to stand up for a person who has embodied the Torah, who has learned the Torah, then certainly you need to stand up for the Torah itself. Now, how do you know you need to stand up for somebody who has mastered the Torah? Because we're told in the Pasuk, Mipnei Seva Takum. That doesn't mean you stand up for an older person. It means you stand up for somebody who is Zesha Kana Chachma, somebody who has mastered many areas of Torah. You need to stand up in their presence out of respect to them. So says the Gemara, if you need to stand up for them, certainly you need to stand up for the source of where all of their respect came from. We have an opposite Gemara Maseches Makos, a very strange Gemara. The Gemara there says, Hani Tipshoi, there are many silly people out there in the world. Dimekame Mekame Gavar Rabba, I'm sorry, Dimekame Mekame Sefer Torah, that they stand up for a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up for the Talmud Chacham. Now, that's going from the opposite direction. That means, you certainly need to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, and by the way, you should also stand up for the Sefer Torah. Here the Gemara is learning it the other way. There the Gemara says, how do you know that a Talmud Chacham is even greater than a Sefer Torah itself? That's what the Gemara asked there. How do I know that a Talmud Chacham deserves more honor than the Sefer Torah itself? The Gemara proves it from the following place. Listen carefully, it's an amazing book. The Gemara says, we have a pasuk in Chumash that says one thing, and along came the Talmud Chacham and he said, nah, don't read the Torah the way it's supposed to be read. In the end of Parshas Kisetze, the end of Sefer Dvarim, all the way at the end of the Torah, we're told, Arbaim Yakenu. There's a person who does something wrong. We warn him before he's about to do it wrong, and the Gemara says in Makos, we need to give him a warning, Toch Kedei Dibur. 3 seconds before he does the thing wrong, we need to tell him, by the way, if you do this wrong, you will be punished. This is going to be the punishment. This is what you're doing wrong. We need to tell him explicitly exactly what he's about to violate and what he will suffer the consequence. And he says in defiance, Afal Pikein Aniyose. I don't care what you say. I heard it all. I internalize your message. It makes no difference. I hate God. I'm going to do it anyway. That's the person that gets Malkus. Says the Gemara, how many times does he get Malkus? What does the Torah say? Arbaim Yakenu. Torah says, give him 40 lashes. We all know he only gets 39. Well, says the Gemara, don't you see from there that the Talmud Chacham has more power than the Torah itself? After all, the Torah says, hit him 40 times, and the Talmud Chacham says, nah, only 39. Therefore, says the Gemara, this is what makes a great person. He's able to outdo the Torah. He's able to outsmart the Torah. And therefore the Gemara says, that is a great person, you deserve respect, because you are even more powerful than the Sefer Torah itself. So Reb Chaim Ozer was once together with the Ostravtser Rebbe. I don't know anything about him. But like all good stories that happened in Europe, they were together in a forest one time, and they were walking somewhere, and it was a beautiful day in the summer, and each one of them turned to the other, and he says, I'd like you to say the first Dvar Torah. We're walking together, two great people. I want you to say the first one. So the Rebbe turns back to Reb Chaim Ozer, he says, you are the Gadol Hador. You're the Gadol Hador. You should say the first Dvar Torah. And Reb Chaim Ozer turns back to me, he says, no, but you're a Gavar Rabba. You're a great person. Yes, I might be the Gadol Hador, but you are a great person. So the Rebbe says back to me, no, you tell me I'm a Gavar Rabba, I'll tell you a Dvar Torah about a Gavar Rabba. There's one place that the Gemara uses this terminology, Gavar Rabba, and that's here, the Gemara in Makos. says you have to stand up for a Gavra Rabbah, you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. So the Ostrovtser Rebbe asked him a very obvious question. When the Gemara wants to prove that somebody, a Talmud Chacham, has more power than the Torah itself, where does it prove it from? The very end of the Torah, from Parshas Kisetze, where the Torah tells us, Arbaim Yakenu, and we knocked it down to 39. Asked the Rebbe a very simple question. We could have proved it from a Parsha much earlier in the Torah. After all, the Torah says in Parshas Emor, which is in Sefer Vayikra, Usvartam lachem mimachras haShabbos. We have an obligation after the first day of Pesach to count Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Says you should count 50 days. And yet we all know that the Chachamim told us it's only 49. So why wait until Parshas Kisetze to prove that a Talmud Chacham is so great, is so powerful, even more than the Torah? Prove it already from Parshas Emor. Listen to this amazing answer. And it gives us such a perspective. What makes somebody a Gavra Rabbah? What makes somebody a Talmud Chacham? It's not the fact that they might have a brilliant mind, that they may have mastered all of Torah. There's nothing great about that. Anybody can be smart. There's nothing special about that. That's not what makes you a Gavra Rabbah. The fact that you can go and read a pasuk and reinterpret it and you know the rules of how to figure out that really 49 means 49 and not 50, there's nothing great about that. You know what's great? You know what makes a Talmud Chacham worthy of respect? What makes a Talmud Chacham worthy of respect is when he sees that lowlife, that Jew, who he warned right before he did the Avera, don't do it, this is the consequence, we're going to give you Malkus. And he says, Alpha Piken Aniosa, in defiance, I'm going to violate the Avera anyway, it makes no difference to me, I hate God, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And we then subsequently bring him into Beis Din for his punishment. And the Talmud Chacham stands there and he looks at this man lying on the floor and he says, how can we hit a man like this 50 times? How can we do that to him? Let's figure out how to lighten his load. Let's only hit him 39 instead of 40. That's a Gavra Rabbah. That's why a Talmud Chacham is worthy of respect. Because he cares about every single human being, even the one who none of us might care about. Even the one who is the outcast of the Jewish community. That is a Gavra Rabbah. That is why he deserves our respect. It's not because the Talmud Chacham knows how to learn a pasuk and switch 50 to 49. There's no great shake about that. Anyone can do that. What's amazing is that you have the perspective, that you have the caring, that you take an interest even in that Jew who's lying on the floor, who deserves every bit of that punishment. You're trying to figure out as best as you can, how can we lighten the load of punishment for this man? How can we make his life even easier, even though he's done so many things wrong? That is a Gavra Rabbah. That is why we celebrate Talmidei Chachamim. Not because they're smart, not because of their brains, not because of their accomplishments, but because of their care and concern for every member of our community. That is what makes a person a great Jewish leader. And that is why they are deserving of our respect. So the Gemara says, we need to stand up for a Sefer Torah. What does it mean we need to stand up for a Sefer Torah? The Shulchan Aruch says it means only when the Sefer Torah is in transit, only when the Sefer Torah is in motion, when it's moving from one place to another, that is when we need to stand up. We don't really have an obligation to stand when the Sefer Torah is being read. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, and the Shulchan Aruch says that if you want to show extra respect for the Sefer Torah as we're reading it in Shul on Shabbos, okay, so you stand up. But it's not an absolute obligation that we have. It is simply a midas chasidus. It is a nice, respectful thing to do. There are some who do it, there are some who don't, but you absolutely do not have to. However, although there are some who do and some who don't, it seems that when it comes to certain Kriyas HaTorah throughout the year, everybody stands up. Such as reading the Aseres HaDibros. And with all of this 45-minute buildup, you now understand the problem. How can we do that? And the Rambam was posed with this question. Let's read number Ches on the bottom. It's a tshuva in the Rambam. Where the Rambam says, Nishal odos ma shehora chacham echad. The Rambam was asked about the following question. Shekoli shasher yamo be'ez kriyas haseres hadibros, roi ligarbo. How can you allow someone to stand up for the haseres hadibros? Isn't that the problem that our Gemara mentions? If you highlight, if you give too much significance to the haseres hadibros, it will make somebody have the mistaken impression that this is the only important part of Torah that we believe in. And therefore he says, The Rambam comes to the conclusion, absolutely not. Do not stand up for the Aseres HaDibros. Look, if you stand for all other Kriyas HaTorah out of respect to the Sefer Torah, then stand for this as well. But to go out of your way to make an announcement like they make in many shuls and say, everybody should now stand up, we're about to read the Aseres HaDibros, writes the Rambam, he thinks it's not a correct practice. Because after all, that is exactly why we took the Aseres HaDibros out of our davening. Because we have a major concern. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that he thinks we don't have to worry about this Rambam. Rav Moshe says, look, the Gemara said that we take it out of davening, and the Gemara did not say anything about standing or sitting for the Aseres HaDibros. We don't have to take it much further than the Gemara went. Aside from the fact that today, it's very unusual that you're going to have people in our community who are coming to shul, who are really going to hear that everybody stands up for the Aseres HaDibros and walk away with a mistaken impression. He says, we don't live in a generation where people think that way. We're not such major theologians. We're not such thinkers today. Most people are not walking into shul and thinking, oh, it's only the Aseres HaDibros, nothing else. Nobody's thinking anything. And therefore, there's very little room for concern when it comes to the Aseres HaDibros. And therefore, Rav Moshe writes, perhaps that is why many, many Kehilos Ashkenaz are not really so concerned about this issue that was raised in the Tshuvas HaRambam. So some communities, what they do is, to get around this issue, they already tell everyone to stand up from the beginning of the Aliyah. We shouldn't show that the Aseres HaDibros are important. We want to show the whole Aliyah is important. All of the reading of the Torah is important. So this is a very interesting issue. Rav Asher Weiss also once told me that he feels we don't have to be machmir for the Shita of the Rambam, and it's okay that the communities in Kehilos Ashkenaz, many communities in Kehilos Ashkenaz, have the practice that they stand up in particular for this, and he proved it from a comment in the Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi writes that in the days of the Gemara, they used to only make one bracha at the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah. One person made the bracha, Asher Bachar Banu. At the end of all the aliyos, the last person made the end bracha. They didn't have a bracha before and after every aliyah. It would save us time. That is the way they used to do it. However, says the Yerushalmi, when they came to special aliyos, they had a bracha before and after that aliyah, such as when they read the Aseres HaDibros. So he said, don't you see the Yerushalmi makes clear that we're not concerned when you're reading from the Sefer Torah itself, we don't have to worry that somebody's going to walk away and think, oh, it's only the Aseres HaDibros and nothing else. Reb Soloveitchik also writes that he believes the reason why we stand up for the Aseres HaDibros is not only because we want to show so much respect and honor for the Aseres HaDibros more so than anything else, but we want to read the Aseres HaDibros standing because we want to reenact the experience of Kabbalah HaTorah. And the Torah tells us, Vayamdu Me'rachok, when it came to the giving of the Torah, when it came to Har Sinai, every Jewish person who was there was standing up because we showed such honor and such respect to the giving of the Luchos, to the experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming at Har Sinai and revealing His presence. Therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, maybe that is an additional reason why we stand when we read the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos, not simply to show honor and respect, but to reenact that whole experience of Kabbalah HaTorah at Har Sinai when we were originally given the Luchos HaBris, the Luchos HaEdos. There is an important point, and with this we will close. We know that the Luchos were given two tablets. On one side we have Anochi Hashem Elokecha, on the other side we have Lo Sirtzach Lo Sinav, and that makes up the entirety of the Aseres HaDibros. Many Mefarshim write that the first few are Bein Adam LaMakom, and the second few are Bein Adam LaChaveiro. Now you have to ask yourself, why is it that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and he sees the Jewish people, Asinu Egal Masecha, he sees that they're serving Avodah Zarah, they're dancing around, Betupim Uva Macholos, everyone's excited. Why does he throw down both of the Luchos? Obviously there's a deficiency, Bein Adam LaMakom. Obviously they have a problem with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but why get rid of Lo Sirtzach and Lo Sinav? Those are important values for us. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu destroy it all? And the reason is because if you're missing one aspect of Torah, if you don't understand Anochi Hashem Elokecha, if you don't understand Bein Adam LaMakom, you also will never understand or appreciate Bein Adam LaChaveiro. The Torah, we assume, is Torah Hashem Temima. And because of that, he says, this is why Moshe Rabbeinu broke both of the Luchos when the Jewish people were serving Avodah Zarah. Because either you take it all, or you take none. This is a complete package. Either you believe in the authenticity of all of Torah, or you believe that none of it is authentic and none of it is legitimate. And therefore, he says, this is why we need to get rid of it. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, one of the great Bali Musar, had a Talmud who moved out of his community, and he became a Rav in another town. And he said to his Rebbe, you know, before I move out, I just want to take some notes. Every year, the last couple of years, I've gone with you to bake matzah. Next year, I'm going to be on my own, because I'm not going to live here anymore. I'm taking my own job somewhere else. And I'd like to know, what should I pay attention to? Of all the chumras and all the hidurim, what should I focus on when I make the matzah? What should I do? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, if there's one chumra that you could take upon yourself, if there's one thing that you can do when you bake the matzahs, let me tell you what it should be. When you have the poor almana who goes on sweeping the floor behind all of the mess that you have made, you should bend down on the floor and help her sweep up that floor that has the mess on it. That's the greatest chumra you can have in your matzahs. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was teaching his Talmidim, yes, it's important that we have kosher matzahs, and it's important that we do the mitzvahs with all the hidurim. All of that is critical, all of that is important, but don't ever forget, there are two luchos that were given. We have, on the one hand, the Aseres HaDibros that taught us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that we need to always be mindful of the fact that we have a relationship, Ein Adam LaMakom, eat those matzahs, do the mitzvahs like you're supposed to, but don't ever forget, it comes at the very same time as we were also given the mitzvah of Lo Sirtzach and Lo Sinach. The Bein Adam LaChaveiro is no different. And there's an amazing story about the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, they say, when he was 4 years old, his father noticed that he was a very intense young man, as one can imagine. So he asked his son, he asked his son Eliyahu from Vilna to please go outside and play with the other kids. He goes outside, and 3 minutes later, the Vilna Gaon comes back crying. His father asks him, what happened? Did someone hit you? Did someone hurt you? No. So why are you crying? So the Vilna Gaon said, because the only toy that they have outside is a seesaw. How can I play a game where the only way that I feel good is when I put someone else down? You want to know why the Vilna Gaon was the Vilna Gaon? Yes, he may have been a brilliant person, but he was the amazing Vilna Gaon because at 4 years old, that was his perspective. How can I play a game in Adam Lachaber when I know that the only way to win, when I know that the only way to feel good about myself is by putting someone else down? That is an inappropriate game for me to be playing. That's how you become great. That is, like we said, why the Gemara tells us we have an obligation to give great respect to Talmidei Chachamim. Not because they're so smart, not because of the Torah that they may have amassed, and obviously that's a critical component, but it's because all of that has led them to a sensitivity, to a caring of what every Jew's feeling is all about. That is what the Torah means to teach us. That is why the Aseres HaDibros are so critical, because it reminds us that we have two components to every aspect of life as a Jew. Bein Adam LaChaveiro is important, but Bein Adam LaMakom is no less important, and it goes in both directions. You have some people who emphasize one and de-emphasize the other, and either of those are not the correct perspective. Both of them require our attention. Both of them require us to give equal footing to mitzvahs on one side, mitzvahs on the other, and we need to make sure that this fundamental aspect of Torah is one that we remind ourselves of all the time. I wish all of you